Thank you, ladies. If you take your Bibles and just have them ready, your study sheets if you take notes, and also, kids, your study sheet, follow along, fill out some of those things when you hear them. First of all, though, congratulations, Ely Baseball, going to state. Congratulations. We're going to get into our 10 Mind Monsters today. Last week we began our summer series called Mind Monsters, and we introduced it. So if you were here, you kind of got an idea of what it's going to be like. Each Sunday we're going to talk about a way of thinking that at times we kind of let out of the closet in our mind, and it begins to do its work. And if we're not careful, we will entertain that way of thinking, and pretty soon we start focusing on that way of thinking, and before we know it, it's a distraction and it's a hindrance, and it begins to consume us, and pretty soon that way of thinking actually dominates and takes control, and eventually it paralyzes us. And we're going to look at 10 of those ways of thinking as examples of many, many, many other ways of thinking. Our minds are so important. I mean, that's really clear in Scripture. Our minds are so important and very relevant and very practical, how we think and what we think about. So that's what the series is about. And we're going to start with fear. Thoughts of fear. That's one of those monsters that comes out of the closet often in our minds. And some of us struggle with it. And you'll find yourself acknowledging that. And it's important that you acknowledge that today. Because the help that you can get, you can't receive unless you acknowledge your fears. And so hopefully you'll be doing that as we go through this message today. Would you stand with me and pray? And we're going to ask God to really help us to accept what he says today, and do something about it. Father, we thank you for this time of worship. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the people who've come. Lord, each one is here for a reason, and it could have been something that's already taken place, already been experienced. But Father, it could be what you want to say to them through your word in the next few minutes. And Father, if that's the case, give us ears to hear and minds and hearts that are willing to respond. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your greatness. And we need your greatness as we think about fear. So we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. You may be seated. Fear is a feeling of anxiety caused by the presence or nearness of danger, either real or perceived. Sometimes we fear what isn't even there. So sometimes it's perceived. A lot of times it's real. And fear is that feeling of anxiety we get inside at the presence of something, the nearness of something that makes us feel unsafe, uncomfortable, in danger. So what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Don't you dare say nothing. I mean, some of us like to come across like we're fearless, right? There isn't one of us who doesn't experience fear. It's just a matter of what it is, what fear we experience. But we all experience fear. So let me go through a list of some of the examples of things that could be a fear that you and I experience. And what I want you to do, because they're not listed on your study sheet, as I go through these, if I hit on one that's your fear, a fear that you have at times, I want you to write it down so that you have a visual of what the fears are that you will be applying what we talk about to. Okay? And I will even be honest and tell you as we get to them which ones I relate to, that I experience. True confessions here today. All right? First of all, the fear of sitting in the front at church. Some of you have that fear. Look at all this real estate here. That's a real fear for some, isn't it? It's the last thing they would do. It's frightening. Okay. Anyway, I just threw that in. That wasn't even on my list. I got up here and I saw all these chairs. Okay, here we go. Well, let's start with spiders. It's always on some of the top 10 lists of phobias, of fears. Snakes. Write it down, dear. I protected her from a snake this week. Big one. Needles. Storms. Thunder, lightning storms. Some people have a real fear of that. Crowds. It scares some people to death to not only be in crowds, but to just think of possibly being in a big crowd. It's a real fear. Public speaking. That one is usually number one on most lists. You know, when you go online and you see the top 10 fears that people have, public speaking is usually number one or real close to the top. Small enclosed spaces. Claustrophobia. I'm making Janine's list for her. That's why I keep pointing. Make sure she writes these down, because I know her fears, which means she's afraid of a sauna, right? Which is too bad for me. But yeah, closed, small places. Some people are really afraid of that. The dark. That's a fear that some have. Afraid of the dark. Dentists. Do we have any dentists here? Okay. Anyway, there are people who are afraid of dentists. Right, kids? Yeah, right. And then there are some others that maybe get a little more serious. There's the fear of death. Just the fear of dying really can be a struggle for some people. The fear of sickness, especially in our day, cancer. And I realized this morning that I have to add this fear because I'm starting to think about Alzheimer's because of my dad. And so every time I forget something, I think, oh, no, it's in the genes, you know? And I have to admit, I'm starting to experience a fear there that I never had before. But the fear of certain sicknesses and that, you know, I might be the one who has them. Or the fear of growing old. No. Fear of growing old. Some of you are already there and you can say it's okay, right? Yeah. There are those who are afraid of that. Just afraid of change in general. There are some people that are just scared to death of change. And if you just suggest anything that would call for change, it's like the fear just overwhelms them. I got two in a row that I have to admit to. The next one is the fear of losing control. And some of you know the dreams I have at times, the bad dreams about losing control of a church service, you know. But there are those of us who fear that. Just losing control of situations, of life that's going on around us, just in general. Then the fear of failing. The fear of doing something and failing at it. To the point where I can relate to how you will choose even to not try something if there's a chance you might fail at it, because there's such a fear of failing. That's a fear for some. For we as Christians, there are some who have a real fear of sharing their faith, of speaking about their faith to anyone. And they're really afraid of that idea. Okay? The fear of rejection. the fear of people rejecting you. Speaking of people, the fear of getting hurt by people. I guess that goes along with rejection. And then what follows that a lot of times is the fear of relationships. Being fearful of even getting too close to somebody in a relationship because of the fear of getting hurt. So those fears kind of build on each other. I've been hurt, so I fear getting hurt again. So because of that, I fear getting into a relationship, and the fears just keep being added there. And we could go on and on. And you probably already wrote down some of yours. If yours weren't mentioned, write it down real quick. It might have prompted you to remember what your fears are that come out of your closet in your mind now and then. And for some of us, we've learned how to send those thoughts of fear back into the closet. Some of them we struggle with a little more, and it's a little harder to get them back in the closet. And some of these, we'd have to say, I not only struggle with them, but, boy, I get consumed by them, and they really are causing problems in my life. I'm a fearful person when it comes to those things. And I would even admit that it's distracting me spiritually, that these fears are causing me to make certain decisions and go certain directions that I don't want to go in my life and that I shouldn't go. And I would have to admit that these certain fears, that fearful way of thinking, is actually consuming me at times, and it takes control. Fears can do that. They really can. So what I want to do, by the way, if you have a study sheet, look at this really insightful statement about fear. It says, fear is a darkened room where negatives are developed. Now, kids, you probably have no clue what that's talking about. Okay. But there used to be these things like dark rooms where you had film after you take pictures, and you have to go in there and use all these chemicals and whatever in the dark, and you develop negatives, that type of thing. Okay. But this is an insightful statement about fear, because it says fear is a darkened room where negatives are developed. The idea is when you allow this fearful thinking to remain in your mind and you dwell on it and you focus on it, it's like being in a dark room and it's negatives that are being developed, right? Because fear causes you to think of negative outcomes. A lot of times things that haven't even happened, but you're already thinking the worst and you're fearing the worst. You know? So you see a snake and right away you're afraid because that snake is going to crawl up your legs. It's probably not. But fear develops negatives, you know. I'm afraid of something and I continue to dwell on that fear. And as a result, negatives are being developed and outcomes. And the outcomes are getting worse the more I think about it, right? They're getting worse. And what does that do? It enhances the fear. And so now I'm developing even worse outcomes. And that's where you have panic attacks. Anybody familiar with that? Most panic attacks are involved with fear. There's a fear somewhere that we have allowed to come out of that closet in our mind, and we have become consumed by that fear and the thinking that goes along with that. It's like a dark room, and the negatives keep getting developed over and over again. So here's what we're going to do. As I said last week, all through this series, these three verses, for those who can see it, are going to be our key verses from Scripture that we're going to think about most of the time. They're kind of our go-to verses on our thinking. The first one is, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That comes from Romans 12. Second one is, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. From 2 Corinthians 10. And then from Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, I won't do this every week, but today that's our outline, as you'll see on your sheet. So first of all, let's talk about fear and Romans 12:2, the first one. If you want to, you can turn to Romans 12. Let's talk about fearful thoughts, fearful thinking in relation to Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind." Change comes from changed thinking. That's where it starts. And so Paul talks about changing by the renewing of your mind. To renew means to bring change and bring something fresh and new. You know, that idea. To renew your mind. Now, when we're talking about fear, what would that be? Well, that would be renewing your thinking, bringing fresh, different thoughts into your mind other than the fearful thoughts that are there and just consuming you. It's renewing that mind. Let me put it this way. It's like turning on the faucet, okay? And as you know, I drink coffee. And I was thinking the other morning, when I went to make the coffee, there was still the old coffee from the day before. Yes, we leave it there sometimes. And it was in the pot, and so I poured it into the sink. And as the old coffee is going down the drain, of course, some of it stays on the bottom of the white porcelain sink. You know what I'm talking about, this yucky brown liquid, okay? So what do I do to renew the sink? I turn on the faucet, and this fresh, clean water starts pouring out into the sink. And what happens is that clean, fresh water begins to push that brown old coffee toward the drain. And I see the brown old coffee starting to gradually go down the drain. And pretty soon, the sink bottom is getting clean. And the clean, fresh water is beginning to dominate. And then it takes control, and that old brown coffee is gone. Talk about draining the swamp. It's gone. And the sink has been renewed with clean, fresh water. I think what Paul is saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, is you've got to turn on the faucet and let clean, fresh, new thinking come in to your mind. Got it? And as that clean, fresh, new, different thinking comes into your mind, it begins to push that mind monster of fear out gradually. And pretty soon, it's that clean, fresh, new thinking that begins to dominate your mind. And pretty soon, it takes control of your mind. And that mind monster of fear is gone for the time being. Renewing the mind. How do you do that? Well, you renew the mind with the clean, fresh, new thinking that comes from this, from God's Word. Here's the faucet. Here's the well of clean, fresh thinking. And if I'm struggling with thoughts of fear, I need to turn on the faucet of God's Word and just let that pour into my mind. And it needs to be scriptures that deal with fear, because that is the thinking at this point that I'm struggling with. So I need to come to find or learn or ask somebody or have the pastor put a whole list of 20 verses on a study sheet that talk about fear, so that when I'm struggling with the thinking of fear, I can turn the faucet on, I can go to these scriptures and let that clean, fresh, new thinking pour into my mind. And I tell you, folks, if you do this, it begins to push those thoughts of fear out. And pretty soon, if you're disciplined enough, it will start to dominate your mind and take control, and the fear thoughts will be gone. until next time, and then you do it again. And you develop that habit. So, let's turn on the faucet for just a few minutes to give you an example, okay? Let's turn on the faucet, and I want you to feel the clean, fresh, new thinking that can come into your mind if you're struggling with fear. There are 20 of them here. I encourage you to use them. I'm just going to take us quickly through half or less. So let's start in Joshua 1. This is practicing what I'm telling you. Turning on the faucet of the clean, fresh, new thinking in God's Word about fear so that it will push out, dominate, and take control instead of fearful thoughts. So Joshua 1. This is the account of God encouraging Joshua because Moses, the leader of Israel, has died, and now Joshua is chosen to take over as the leader. Okay? So you can identify with this fear that Joshua must have had. Anybody ever started a new job and you were afraid? You were experiencing fear before the first day, the first week came? That's Joshua. He's about to start a new job. He's going to lead millions of people. And he has to take the place of Moses. Huh. Man. So he's probably entertaining fears. Otherwise, God wouldn't have said these things to him. So look at what God says. Let's start verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Wow. That's turning the clean, fresh water on. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wow, Joshua needed to hear that. And those were words that would just start pushing the fear of this new responsibility out of his mind. God's saying, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. Be strong. Be courageous. You can do it, Joshua. Psalm 27. I think there are songs from this scripture. Verse 1, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Here it's talking about the fear of people. Anybody struggle with that? Just the fear of people. There are people that intimidate us. And David says, I'm not going to fear. God is my light. God is my salvation. God is the stronghold. He's the one that's strong that holds on to my life. It's not going to be man. They're not going to be the stronghold that takes hold of my life. God is going to be. So I'm not going to fear man. That's a good burst of fresh, clean thinking. How about Psalm 46? Some of us struggle with the fear of trouble, you know, before it even comes, whether it's going to come or not. We're afraid of trouble. We're just expecting it, you know. Negatives developed in the dark room. That's fear. And trouble that hasn't even come, we're scared of it. And we're consumed by fear of trouble. So it says in Psalm 46, here's turning the faucet on of new thinking. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, no matter what happens. We will not fear. Because God is an ever-present help in trouble. the midst of it. Okay? We need to think that way. Let's go to Psalm 112. Psalm 112. It's talking about the righteous man. Let's start in verse 6. Psalm 112, 6. Remember, it's talking about the righteous man. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. Do you fear bad news? Have you ever gone through a time in your life, like I have, where you actually dread the phone ringing? You're afraid that it means bad news? Anybody identify with that? I know what that's like. I mean, it hasn't happened yet. The phone hasn't rung yet, but you're afraid. You're so afraid that you don't want the phone to ring. Yeah. But the psalmist says the righteous man isn't afraid of bad news. He's not afraid of bad news. Verse 7, why? Because his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear, even of bad news. Would you like that to be true of you? It can be. Just turn on the faucet of scriptures like this and let it just wash out the fear from your minds. How about Isaiah 43? We'll jump way ahead in the list. Isaiah 43. Hopefully this is going to get you to want to read the whole list here and do a real flush job of your mind if you're struggling with fears. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Verse 4, get this. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, do not be afraid. Aren't those great things to replace the fear in your mind? God says, I made you. I formed you. You belong to me. You're precious to me. I love you. Don't be afraid. New Testament, John 14. John chapter 14. Upper room. Disciples are experiencing quite a bit of fear because they've heard that Jesus is leaving. He won't be around anymore. And so he speaks this to these fearful disciples in verse 27. John 14, 27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He says, don't be afraid, guys. Yeah, I'm leaving, but don't be afraid. I'm going to give you peace. Isn't that what fear takes away from us? Peace of mind? So Jesus says, don't be afraid. I'll give you peace. Isn't that a great reminder? How about 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy 1. Young Timothy is a pastor in Ephesus. There's a persecution going on. Christians are being jailed and killed. And even his mentor, Paul, is in prison. And he's kind of fearful. He's seemingly pulled back in his ministry out of fear. And notice what Paul says to him in 1:7 of 2 Timothy. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Paul says, Timothy, you may be fearful right now. And you're making decisions. You're pulling back. from your ministry out of fear. But hey, God didn't give you that fear. That timidity did not come from God. Friends, some of those fears that you're struggling with, that have become a part of your thinking, and they paralyze you, and they control you, and they determine decisions you make, and they determine directions you go, and they're keeping you from really growing and experiencing all God wants you to experience. Those fears did not come from God. He's not the source. And that's what Paul reminds Timothy. God doesn't give you a spirit of fear. He gives you a spirit of love and of power and a sound mind, self-discipline. That's what God gives. He doesn't give fear. And then let's look at 1 John 4. You can read all the rest. Turn the faucet on this afternoon or tonight. And just, if you struggle with fearful thoughts, just read these. And read them out loud, by the way. Get somewhere where you can read them out loud. And just pour that thinking from God's Word into your mind. And watch the fear get pushed out. And these thoughts begin to dominate. But one more, 1 John chapter 4. And this came out in our worship time. Verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Do you? Do you rely on the love God has for you? God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we'll have confidence on the day of judgment, not fear. Because in this world, we're like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. Fear is all about the negative, the bad. Okay? The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Love drives out fear. So rely on the love of God. Rely on the truth that God loves you. Remember he said to Israel, I created you, I formed you, I redeemed you, I chose you, I love you, you're precious to me. I'm not going anywhere. I'll help you. Don't be afraid. The love of God can drive out fear. It really can. So, that's the idea of being changed in your thinking by the renewing of your thoughts. And when it comes to fear, if you struggle with that, you need to have this arsenal of Scripture that deals with fear. And when you're struggling with the thoughts of fear, you need to turn on the faucet and bring those Scriptures into your mind. And it works. Just like that old brown coffee. God will take that fresh, clean way of thinking and just push out the fear. And those thoughts from His Word will take over. It works. And it works for any other way of thinking that you struggle with. You just got to find the list of Scriptures for that. Well, number two. We're not going to take as long on these two. Fear and 2 Corinthians 10:5. Turn there. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We'll start in verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. We're in a spiritual battle. You know that. That's what Paul is talking about. This is a spiritual battle we're involved in. It's war. He says, on the contrary, the weapons we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every claim that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. It has to do with the mind. And we take, here's our key go-to verse, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We're in a battle, and the battlefield is our mind. And you've been told that over and over again as a Christian, because it's true. This is a war. There's a spiritual war going on, and it's for your mind, and it's for my mind. And that's the battlefield. And part of the way that we can be involved in the fighting of that battle is to learn how to take thoughts captive. Take them captive. Thought comes into our mind, it comes out of the closet like fear. Thoughts of fear, fearful thinking come into my mind. I've got to be able to recognize that and as soon as possible take it captive. Like I told you, my son defined that, just say gotcha to that thought. Take it captive. You're not going to allow it to stay there. You're not going to entertain it. You're not going to let it dominate. You're not going to let it distract. You're not going to let that thinking of fear lead you astray. You're going to take it captive. And you're going to put it back in the closet and make it obedient to Christ. And you're going to say, fearful thinking, Jesus is Lord, not you. Jesus saved me, not you. I serve Jesus, not you. Jesus is the truth, not you, fearful thinking. You take it captive and you make it obedient to Christ. And we got to learn to do that. Sooner the better, so we don't allow those fearful thoughts to just continue. Take them captive quickly. Right. Third, fear in Philippians 4:8. That's where we get this list of eight kinds of thoughts. And Paul says, think on these kinds of things. Let's look at it in the scripture, Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, of high moral quality, that's noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So as I said last week, Paul is giving us a grid. It's really a grid. If you want to call it a list, if you're a list person, then call it a list. But he's giving you a grid, and it has eight ways of thinking, eight kinds of thinking. And he says, that's how you should think. You should think about those kinds of things. So really, I think what he's saying is that we need to learn that grid, that list. And whenever thoughts come into our mind, and in this case today, fearful thinking, we need to pass those thoughts through the grid of Philippians 4:8. And we ask ourselves the question, are these fearful thoughts true? If they aren't, if they can't pass through that grid of truth, then get rid of them. Are these fearful thoughts noble? Are they of high moral quality? If not, get rid of them. Are these thoughts of fear pure? Are they lovely? Obviously not. Are they admirable? Are they excellent? Are they praiseworthy? If somebody knew what you were thinking right now, those thoughts of fear, would they admire you? Would they say, wow, that's great thinking you're involved in right now, all that fearful thinking? I admire you for that. No? If you can't say that's true, then you get rid of them. This is a great grid. It's a great list to pass those thoughts through. If they don't fit that grid, you get rid of them. We need to learn the discipline of passing fearful thinking through this grid. So let me just wrap it up with two or three quick things here. If you like little phrases, you know, I suppose this is a formula, but, you know, if you like formulas. But here it goes. Just write it down. If you struggle with fear, whatever those fearful thoughts are, in the list I gave, or you had to add it to your paper because I didn't mention it. If you struggle with fear, here's four quick little helps. Admit them. Do not hide them. Do not cover them up. Do not deny them and think by doing that you're some fearless, great person. Okay? Admit your fears. Number two, commit them. Admit them and commit them. Commit them to God. Turn them over to God. God, I don't want these thoughts in my mind. They are of no value to me. I give them to you. So admit them, commit them, release them. When you commit them to God, let go. No? Let go. Don't hang on. Commit them and release them to God. And then replace them. And that's where the renewing of your mind comes in. Admit your fears, commit them to God, and when you do, let them go, release them, and then begin the renewing. Turn on the faucet and replace those fearful thoughts with truth in the list I gave you here on your sheet. Second, turn to Isaiah 41. Last scripture this morning. Isaiah 41. I'm going to read this scripture and I'm going to tell you how I fell in love with Janine. The moment I fell in love with Janine. And she fell in love with me, by the way. Isaiah 41, verse 10. God is speaking, okay? So do not fear. So that must be one of those 365, right, Kim? Must be. So do not fear. Why? Best reason in the world. God says, for I am with you. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. I've chosen you. I've not rejected you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. What you're fearing isn't your God. He says, I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'll hold you up. Verse 13. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand. Picture that. Who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. It was October 1971. Janine and I were in our first year at Oak Hills Bible College. We had become friends, but there was a scream in the dark on the Iron Range we heard. And so I filled my car, and Janine turned out to be one of them in the car, in the back seat, and we took off for Virginia to scream in the dark. We got to Virginia, getting out of the car, and we had heard that Ken Davis, who was in charge at that time, had a lot of snakes, and he liked to put snakes in this scream in the dark thing. And of course, Janine wrote snakes down, right? Yeah. Deathly afraid of snakes. So we get out of the car, and we head for the place to go through this scream in the dark, and she says, I don't think I'm going to go. Found out she was scared of snakes. So she didn't want to go in. And the gallant man that I am, I said, oh, come on, I'll hold your hand. And she held on to the righteous right hand. Well, anyway, the right hand of me. And we went through Scream in the Dark. There were no snakes that I can recall. But we went through there, me holding her hand and her holding tightly to my hand. And I think she would agree that was the night the romance started. Can I tell you, if you take up God, take him up on what he says here in Isaiah 41, where he says, don't be afraid. I'll help you. I will hold you with my righteous right hand. I will take your hand, no matter what it is you're afraid of. And I will go through that with you. I am here. I'm your God, not what you're fearing. That's not your God. You've made it your God, the way you think about it, the way you let it control your thinking. But I'm your God. And I will take you by my right hand, and I will help you and walk with you. Don't be afraid. And I believe that if you take him up on his promise there, it's going to be really good for your relationship with him. Just like it was really good for our relationship. It'll be really good for your relationship with God if you take him up on this promise. If you're a person who struggles with fearful thinking. At the bottom of your sheet, there's a statement that you know. And you know it's true. It says, God is bigger than our fears. You know that, right? You agree with that, right? God is bigger than our fears. Whatever the fear is, whatever you listed on your sheet, God is bigger than that. But here is the important question. We know it, but do we believe it? You know God is bigger than what you fear. But do you believe he is? There's a difference, you know, between knowing something is true and actually believing it. What's the difference? True belief always leads to action. Knowledge may or it may not. But true belief always leads to action. You can know that God is bigger than what you fear. And that he's greater than your fears. But friends, you've got to believe it. You've got to believe it with all your heart. And if you do, it will lead to action. It will lead to renewing your mind, turning the faucet on, and just pouring God's word into your mind. If you truly believe God is bigger than that fear, you will learn how to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And if you really believe God is bigger than your fears, you will pass those fearful thoughts through the grid. And if they don't fit that list in Philippians 4, they go. If you really believe God is greater than your fears and what you fear, you will accept his offer to take his righteous right hand and the help and the strength he offers. We know it. Do we believe it? Or do we actually believe our fear and what we fear is greater than God? The way we handle those thoughts, I would say some of us think those fears and what we fear are greater than God. We've got to work that through. I want to read something and then I'm done. This is from a devotional by Paul David Tripp. I'm just going to read what he says and then pray. He says, I think that it is one of the dirty secrets of the Church of Jesus Christ that many of the things we do are done out of fear and not faith. Fear happens when I look at myself, assess my resources, and conclude that I do not have what it takes to do what God is calling me to do or to face what I have to face. Fear in a believer is a function of forgetfulness. To the degree that you forget who God is, and you forget who you are as his child, and you forget what you have been given by his grace, and you allow fear to be your default emotion. I am deeply persuaded that the only solution to fear is fear. In other words, fear is defeated only by a bigger, greater fear. Here's what I mean. When the fear of God overwhelms and controls your heart and mind, it protects you from the paralyzing and debilitating fear of other things. It's only when God looms hugely larger than anything you could ever face in this fallen world that your heart and mind are able to experience peace. Let's pray. Our Father, we acknowledge to you that we have fears. Some of them probably aren't real significant, just typical fears. But Lord, there are some things that we shouldn't be fearing. And there are fears that we let just consume us, Lord, and we acknowledge that. And we let them take your place. We let them affect our decisions and determine direction in our life. They distract us from following you, Lord. They keep us from experiencing the good things, the growth, the blessings you have for us. They keep us from doing what you want us to do and being who you want us to be. Father, we confess before you that we have put our fears in the place you deserve in our minds. Father, help us to take this seriously. Teach us how to turn that faucet on of your word and renew our thinking. Teach us how to, early on, take these thoughts of fear captive and make them obedient to Jesus. And Lord, remind us when those thoughts of fear come into our minds to just pass them through that grid that you gave us. And if they don't pass through, if they don't fit, give us the courage to send them away. Because fear is not our God. Lord, you are our God. Take us by your righteous right hand and help us. In the name of Jesus, amen.